All right.
So today we're going to answer the question everybody's been asking.
Can sharks get physical therapy?
Okay. The question only Laura's been asking. So we're going to answer that. We're also going to answer how you become a canine rehabilitation therapist.
Or just also known as a animal.
Okay, fine.
Physical therapist. An animal physical therapist.
How much they get paid, what you gotta do, how much does a program cost, and some blurbs on their modalities.
What they do. Like, just talking about kind of what they do, too. Because at least in my school, we touched on it slightly, but we didn't dive in. So we're gonna dive in a little bit deeper.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go. Shark Week.
The PTA Podcast with your hosts, Ken
and Laura. Thanks again for joining for another exciting episode. All right, let's dive in.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Well, for starters, I did much more research than you did. Do you want to talk about what you know before I talk about what I know?
In all fairness, I'm like working three jobs, so...
Excuses.
Put that out there. I will say I did Google and did some research on whether or not sharks have physical therapy done.
Actually, I was just that's more why curious. We're doing this.
I don't. Yeah.
And
I couldn't find anything. They have shark therapy, which I learned is a new thing. They'll use it for, like, kind of like emotional support animals.
They'll use a shark. For emotional support.
Yeah, like they have horse therapy, they'll do shark therapy.
So
like
if, what do I have to go to the ocean to or do they bring the shark to me?
I don't think they bring the shark to you. I think you either probably have to go to like an aquarium or something like that.
I thought sharks don't do well in aquarium.
Only certain sharks.
Just great whites.
Great whites can't. It's not enough space. They legit will die in captivity. Okay,
well, before this turns into everything Laura knows about Shark Week, today we're talking about animal therapy.
We are.
So wait, do you want to talk about what you know?
Oh, well, that was it. I'm just kidding. That's... No, that's not. So the reason we wanted to bring up animal therapy, I would say it's kind of relatively new and growing area of field. Like when I was in school, it was brought up, but it was never like, hey... This is what you kind of came here for in a way. And it was still kind of like very few places even knew about it or performed it. So I kind of wanted to talk about it a little bit more. I'll be honest, I've never been in the field, never seen it as much. Like we were just kind of doing our research. So if you have been in the field and you've got some like great ways of getting in the field to share with others, please reach out to us so that way we can share. We're just doing the best we could off of research that we found.
So I've tried to do a little bit of everything. So first I'll educate you, my dear Laura, on when it started. It was in the 1960s with horses.
That doesn't surprise me.
So racehorsing was a big thing, and mainly in Europe did they do horse therapy. And then in the 90s, it was officially added as a type of treatment in the United States.
Yeah, so it really is not that long, though.
1996, actually.
But that's still...
No, it's fairly recent. Yeah, no, you're right.
Like, I'm like, I don't feel like that's that long.
So even though it started with horses, there are two terms for working with animals. You have canine rehabilitation therapist certification.
I think that's the one I feel like most people hear about.
And then the other one is still canine rehabilitation certificate. Certification. Oh, okay. And certificate.
I thought you were
saying... But they're actually different. It's weird.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. Okay, for the first one, for the CRTC, you have to go to... Canine Rehabilitation Institute, or CRI. It's in Florida. Well, that's where their hub. But I believe it is an online course. There are three modules. You need 1 year of clinical experience, and the pricing runs around $8,000 to $8,500.
Well, what's the clinical experience? Is it in the physical therapy?
Physical therapy.
Okay.
So you need to be a licensed PT or PTA in order to even enroll into this program.
Interesting.
They will take you as a student, but you can't take the licensure or the certification exam mm-hmm. until you are a licensed therapist.
Okay.
The University of Tennessee, however, has the Canine Rehabilitation Certificate. This is open to PTs, PTAs, OTs, vet techs, a little bit of more
everything
diversity, I suppose. This has 5 modules in it and runs at 5.5K. So when I was looking into it, it seems like the first one in Florida is actually a more recognized certificate.
I wonder who started it.
Like, person?
Well, like, was the Florida the first one to kind of...
I believe it was Florida.
Yeah, which makes sense. It's more recognizable if you're, you know, in upheld, I guess you could say, if you kind of started it.
So for these programs, just like everything else, you still need to shadow. You need to have get the experience with, like, dog handling, safety, understand their behaviors.
What?
Yep, just like everything else.
Safetiness, that's crazy talk. No, I think that's good because, like, this is where, like, it kind of interests me a little bit because you want, like, we don't, in school, we do not cover anything canine related.
Yeah, they expect you to know, well, to transfer what you learned about the human body to an animal body.
Yeah.
Those are the expectations.
Which I feel like in general, you can kind of do their joints that kind of work the same in a different, like, some of them work the same. Let me phrase that.
Yeah, but some are similar. So these programs are mainly around canines, mm-hmm. but they have, like, post-op felines that you can relate both of them together.
So kitty cats.
But then you also have, like, now, bunnies is that can get
cats or small torticollis. Cats?
Both.
Oh.
Actually, I don't know.
Oh. I don't know felines.
Wait, did you hear my point about the bunnies?
Bunnies and tortoises get torticollis.
No tortoises, just bunnies.
I see there was a T in there.
A tortoise could probably, I don't know if we can get it or not, but bunnies are commonly known to get torticollis.
That's interesting.
So you can do your stretching for torticollis.
Doesn't surprise me.
I mean, I would think it can happen to anything that has cervical musculature.
I wonder if it's because of the way that they, like, lay.
Do they have an SEM? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a bunny having torticollis.
It's definitely, it's very fascinating. There are very, from what I can tell, very select few.
Very select.
Locations. But I feel like it's becoming more popular because I'm even seeing it advertised. And I don't know if it's maybe just because I've been in the field and it's always kind of been, now. But I'm seeing it even advertised more for, like, on TV. I've seen rehabilitation places for canines usually, of, like, water therapy. I've seen it in, like, the vet offices now and things like that too.
I almost think of it like a little doggy daycare.
Yeah, I agree on that.
So just as a little, so you know, the APTA has a special interest group and you can actually look more into the orthopedic physical therapy and animal physical therapy.
Is that kind of like a continuing ed in a way?
It's almost like its own...
Specialty.
Okay. I think it is considered a continuing. It's now going to be called continuing competency, if you did not read the...
well, that was proposed in...
rules,
yes,
changes.
That was in some of the rule changes for Nevada.
I believe it counts, though.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing I had, as far as my notes,
is it part of that, like, advanced... proficiency specialist that. Type thing.
It's not an advanced pathway, no.
Yeah, okay. Because no. I know they have that for PTs, if I'm correct, but I think it might be...
Advanced pathways?
Yeah. I think they're just literally called specialties else. Or something like that, though.
Yeah, I think it's their specialties, because I don't think there's advanced pathways for PTs.
It's just PTAs. Like, I think it's just specialties, though. Like, they can just technically be specialized in it. But that's a whole nother topic.
So the last thing I looked up into was... the salary for someone that decided to take this route. The median salary for Nevada, do you want to guess?
Median?
Median.
90K.
More than that.
Now, this is for PT, I'm assuming.
It didn't specify. It just said if you are a canine rehabilitation therapist certified.
100K then. Let's just jump
See, up. But that's the thing. Because it depends if you're going to look at ZipRecruiter versus...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, some other website that gives you the median salaries. Because I feel like they're always a little different. So the one that I looked into, 99K. With the top 10% making 127K.
That's not too bad.
Just for being certified working with canines. In the U.S., because I was in Nevada, in the U.S., the average is 81K.
Okay. So Nevada actually ranks higher for something.
Compared to a average PTA salary in the United States at 63K.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see if they broke down PTAs and PTs.
And vets.
And vets, yeah.
Because.
That's true. That's throwing in a vet.
If you go for the University of Tennessee, you can be a vet or a vet tech or an OT and do the same program. If you go to Florida or if you do their online program, which is still confusing, it's less modules but more expensive but more recognized. I don't know. I'm all confused. But if you do this program, then I would assume you get paid more if you're a PT over a PTA.
Yeah.
I didn't specify.
It's interesting because of the fact that, like, so one of the things, like, I was reading up on it, really to do it, this field, the only requirements they have is you either need to be a veterinarian, a vet technician, a PT, or a PTA. Now, they did say that some states, PTAs might not be allowed to work as a canine rehabilitation. Or just as an animal rehabilitation, just due to the way that the state's laws are written, is what I found. So I didn't go through each single state. I don't know which, honestly. What?
You didn't?
No.
I'm just kidding. Go
ahead. But it is something that, like, to keep in mind that, you know, sometimes there are stricter regulations on what you could do. Now, the other thing, like, I was reading is even though you are a PT in a, you know, a PTA and you're working with animals, your rules also don't change. Like, I was also looking at, like, PTs still cannot prescribe, you know, medications for vets or for dogs, which makes sense. They do require to be, like, a PT or PTA has to be required by, or not required, they still have to be licensed by the Federal Board of Physical Therapy, so the APTA. Still need to be fully licensed. You still have to take your test. And then from my understanding, you still fall under the whole rules of, like, your supervising practices. Like, all of that still falls under the same thing.
Yeah, because it's still governed by the physical therapy board.
So it's not like all of a sudden you get to do the full plan of care for these animals. You should get to be able to do, you know, evals or discharge. From what I can tell, it still doesn't fall under that. So it's like you still need a PT if you're working as a PTA, from my understanding.
So while I was looking all this up, right? So there I was sitting at work doing nothing. And I'm like,
so what happens when you help open a very new clinic?
This is true. So I was like, oh, let me go do my research for animal therapy. So I was looking into it. I saw that 99K average. And I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong field. So I...
Should you try to get some doll to, you know, it's not too late to change full function. You can be full function animal therapy. Care.
True. We could change our name. I don't know if they'll go for it, but... So I'm like, you know what? I'm just curious. So I went on ZipRecruiter, I think that's why I was on top of my head. Indeed. And I think just a regular Google search. I was not able to find one job that was canine rehabilitation therapist within 100 miles of Henderson.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's who you know, kind of, getting in, because it's so select.
Yeah, I brought in my search, and I would have to move to Reno There's two positions in Reno.
I know that there's one in Pahrump, which is about an hour and a half hour away from us.
So like I said,
either one of the girls I went to school with was working with animals at for a while.
So it's either who you know, or maybe they post their ads separately, like maybe through their own companies. Maybe they don't use those third-party softwares to post job listings. I'm not sure.
But yeah, and they don't stick around fast. I mean, they don't stay around very long. They move fast. Like, when someone's interested, they go for it type thing.
And then I looked up in California as well, and nothing. Yeah. I don't think there was anything in California. Or maybe there... No, I don't think there was. So then I went over and I put... just out of curiosity, I put PTA into the search bar. Within a 10-mile radius, it was 125 listings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely very niche, however you want to say that word, for the people that go for this field. And I would agree. I think you would assume that you know somebody that's like, hey, we have a job for you. If you do this path, then you can come back. But going into this blind without knowing many people, I think would be rather difficult. Again, if there's anybody listening that knows somebody or has some experience with it, as you can tell, we don't know much, so we would love to learn a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. I do want to go over, like, okay, so one of the things that we did find was what is it to treat animals? Like, are you doing exercises? Are you doing hands-on? Like, what are the reasons? What are the benefits of doing it for pets? Like, why do it? And we're in a culture now where our pets, like, back in the time, it makes sense for the horses, definitely because horse racing back in that time was such a big moneymaker too. So it made sense that they were, you know, doing physical therapy for these horses that were probably on the tracks and were a lot of money back then too. We've started to see that change just because of the fact that we value our pets differently now than I would say back in the early ages, I guess you could say.
Did you ever see like those GIFs or memes? It's like 1,000 years ago, you would be like, like fending for yourself in the streets. And then there's like one where there's this dog inside a bed with a comforter.
Oh God.
They have like that. Like a spa mask on, and he's like feeding him treats, like in the mouth. He just like opens his mouth and like eats the treats. I was dying. I'm like, yep, that's kind of how it is now.
It is some of it. Like, we definitely treat them as part of the family. Like, I have a dog. He's part of my family. Like, I have pet insurance for him. Granted, it's more because of the fact that it's super cheap through my husband's work, but we have it. And you're seeing that become more and more common. So they're finding the same thing as with humans, that if they can do some of the proper rehab or preventative rehab, even for animals,
and it saves them. That was a big note too, because when I was looking into it, it focuses on proactive care versus
reactive. Yeah. I was noticing the same thing. It is a little bit opposite of like our actual field, where we're very reactive in a lot of things.
Right. Like, I got back pain. Okay, go to therapy.
Yeah. But we can't, like, animals can't communicate with us.
Unless you have buttons. Stuff.
Yeah. That is pretty cool when they can do that. But so I was looking into some of the, like, what are the benefits and what do they do it for? So, like, of course, they can do the normal pain reduction. We can just assume kind of that they're in pain. We can reduce inflammation. We can increase range of motion. We can improve balance and coordination, definitely in those elderly dogs or cats or horses.
It really sounds like you're talking to a human.
I know, right? We can do restorative and normalize movement. We can restore of normal muscle mass. We can improve muscle strength. You can help with weight loss and obesity. And if you have not listened to our earlier episode, wow, I see what you did there. On that.
You did that on purpose.
It just went down the list and worked out okay. And then also just going to overall, of course, the same thing, improve quality of life.
Yeah, but sounds like I just did an assessment.
Right. So, you know, you could do all that kind of stuff, and it includes...
I think when I was looking into it, the biggest ones when it came to the dogs, I think, were hip dysplasia.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of them.
You see that in a lot of purebreds.
and just understanding hip dysplasia, how to work with hip dysplasia. And I think the second one that I saw more often was the when they lose a limb. So that retraining the dog how to walk, how to play, how to run, you know, do or all using, the dog normal things.
Yeah.
But
they have assisted devices too. They do. And prosthetics too. There are prosthetics for dogs and cats and horses. We've seen, how many times have you guys seen a video or some sort of like post, quick post on like the dogs who don't have their hind legs and they have the little wheelchairs kind of attached to them. So there's definitely things like getting them to use the proper muscles to use that, training them how to use it. One of the things that I found fascinating, so like they break it down into kind of the types of rehab that they will do. So of course, I'm sure if you have seen anything on animal rehab, this one is probably one of the most common things, which is the treadmill therapy where the dogs are hooked up. They can either do this in the water or outside the water. This is to kind of help work with them.
Like, then these were like my questions coming. Like, what if these dogs can't do that? Like, if they're puppies or not trained well enough? I'm thinking about how to put Duncan on a treadmill.
I think we should put Duncan. Your dog is crazy.
There's no way he would stay on it.
Well, you put him on a leash that doesn't really have the room to go anywhere else.
He would be on it for maybe like 10 seconds and be like, okay, I'm over this. Like, how do you stimulate a dog enough to keep him on the treadmill when they're not well trained? Cliffy, I'm sure, will have no problem.
He's Duncan's a scaredy cat. Crazy. So we had this actually. Like, we used to walk our dogs on the treadmill.
What?
Did I never tell you this?
No, you didn't.
So my brother had a treadmill and I taught
and
our...
And you didn't want to walk outside, so you put him on. Okay,
go ahead. Our black lab was kind of crazy like Duncan. And so one day we were just like, she just needs to run. And she had the biggest backyard too. My parents have a huge backyard. We're just like, you are insane. And I was like, I wonder if she'll walk herself on the treadmill. And literally taught her how to walk on the treadmill. And you'd be surprised, like that, like they enjoy that. Definitely those like more active dogs, they enjoy actually getting on the treadmill. Like, she used to go over and would like step on it and then whine until we turned it on.
I feel like it would make me nervous.
You think that we had to stop using it as often because then our boxer came in and she kept trying to bite the logo on the treadmill.
Wait, so what did you do? You're just like, oh, here, go on the treadmill. And then you just turned it on.
Super slow.
And then they just stayed on it. Like, okay, cool, I'll chill right here.
Or they just jump off. Like, she would jump, when she was done, she jumped off. But, like, they do have, like, specialized treadmills for these animals that kind of will have, like, a safety net and, like, not net, but, like, of course, like, safety protocols in place. And, like, they'll have, I've seen ones that have, like, a small little leash hooked up to it, too. Some of it's just, yeah, it's training, but you'd be surprised, like, if they're injured, they'd be doing stuff. And it's like anybody, like, what happens when you're working with a child who is so active and doesn't want to, you find workarounds. So then, of course, like, we talked about the underwater treadmill, which I think we need this for actual people.
An underwater treadmill? There's one.
Well, there's
some companies that have an underwater treadmill.
Yeah, but there's just not a lot. I feel like that we should see this
more.
Is
the maintenance on that?
Just put some chlorine in it. We're good.
Are you going to clean it after every patient?
That's what chlorine's for.
Or what if they have an open wound?
You don't put them in the water.
Yeah, no, I just
want to
see. I just want to see if you got there. Maybe you would have said cover it up and put them in there. Chlorine will kill it.
Well, but
just water therapy. Just, it sounds like a hassle.
It does take more of work, but I don't know.
Water
stuff to me works.
Can every dog swim?
Well, okay, they usually aren't trying to drown the dog. They'll go like halfway from what I can tell. They fill it up to a certain amount.
Oh, just their, oh.
Yeah. So like, it's not like.
When I hear aquatic therapy, I think of like in the water.
Hold on. I'm going to show you a picture. Google, we are going to look up dog water treadmill therapy. Look at that. It just comes. I don't know why.
That's a funny
photo. I pulled it up and literally the photo I have is this dog on a harness in the therapy just licking. just licking the side of the tank. The tank.
That's hilarious.
So I thought that was kind of funny. So see, like, oh, yeah. They don't
just like just their legs.
That's why I feel like this would be so beneficial for us too. Granted, see, it's a little bit more. We do have some of those cooler like anti-gravity treadmills, which are, you don't have to have water, but they're cool. But yeah,
like, so. And every one of these scenarios, I'm just like picturing Duncan in them and see if he would do it.
Well, there's nowhere else for him to go. True. maybe you should get one.
How much do they cost?
Look, this could be Duncan.
That could be him. But knowing him, he would just lick the water. Like, he would just drink the water. I feel
like he would just try to eat it. Like, not even lick it. He'd just eat it.
Eat the water? Yeah.
But, like, see, look, this one's got a toy in his mouth, and then it's just a treadmill that kind of keeps going. I still think that one's my favorite, though. I just might have to. You know what? We're going to screenshot this and make sure that you guys get to.
Yeah, I'm like, you're talking about something that people can't see. They're going to feel left out. And then they're going to be like, I don't want to listen anymore.
We're going to post it. Check it out, guys. It is funny. I don't know why. I think it's so cute and hilarious. But going back to like the other things that they can do, like you can do massage on dogs.
My dog would bite me. Go ahead.
My dog loves it. I actually do this to him. I don't know why. I just started doing it when I got curious one time of like, what would it feel like? And would he be okay with it? And he lays down and like, I'm not petting him. Ken likes to say I'm petting him. But like, I'm straight up like massaging him. I'm moving his muscles and like squeezing him and like just doing all the techniques.
So and yeah, I would just sit there and on Duncan. He would wait a second and then he would reach around and try to bite my hand. Like, sir, get off me.
Yeah, in all fairness, your dog is teething, so he bites everything.
See, but that's the thing. When you work in this field, you can't be like, oh no. I mean, maybe you could. I'd only accept dogs ages 3 and up.
And maybe
accept puppies.
I don't know.
I mean, we do that with adults and children. Kind of. There are specialty peds clinics. And there's adult, like, sorry, we don't treat. We're just not equipped to handle infants and toddlers.
Yeah. I feel like this actually would have been really good for your dog because your dog got all sorts of messed up when it was a puppy.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
Broken leg, infection.
Whoa.
Trying to eat poisonous seeds he shouldn't.
Yeah, it's been a rough go in his 1 year. He's just very curious. Even though it might kill him, he's curious.
I feel like he should go join like the Daredevils or something. Jack Assler.
Yeah, he probably should.
But the other thing that they do is just like us in working with people and humans. You can do passive range of motion with them. You can also do neuromuscular stimulation with them. That I feel like it would be very interesting.
But, like, they have hair.
They shave them just like when they shave them for surgery.
Aw, how depressing.
They probably just shave them in the scotch. So you have
an appointment 3 times a week that you shouldn't keep your dog shaved all the time.
Like, well, depends on where they're putting it.
Their back.
Then they might just do just where the pads are. Like, they just might have little circles.
I'm trying to picture Cliffy with some
patches
on his back.
His hair's not that thick.
what else you got?
Then laser therapy, therapeutic ultrasound, and then of course they also do therapeutic exercises.
Yeah, I mean, if I close my eyes, it would sound like you're
talking about a human.
Well, so I mean, like, I guess it doesn't matter if I open my eyes or close my eyes. Just in context, it sounds like this is therapy for a human.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I definitely see how we can transition what we know with treating humans to working with animals. It's just a learning curve. I think it's really fascinating. You know, the horses, and I would say like when I did my research, I found more in, you know, canines, I think were the top ones that I was seeing right now.
Which is weird because it started with horses. I would figure horses would be the most popular. But it transitioned into a canine rehabilitation therapist.
Look at the times. You used to have more horses doing work activity and dogs were kind of just running around, like were used for growling. Well, it started with the
races.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so you had the horses that were more active and that kind of stuff, and then your dogs were just kind of your dogs. Like, if no offense, if it died, you could get a new one. Your horses, on the other hand, were worth way more money because of the races. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's very morbid. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Jeez. Ouch.
Now it's transitioned to our dogs are part of the family, and most there's a
yeah where, not you, most, where are you going with this there Laura
is a good chunk of the population that has some sort of pet, household pet.
Okay, where did the horses go?
They're still around and they still have the therapy, but there's just more dogs probably that are house trained and house owned than pets. I mean, than like horses. So I feel like, let's just Google how many dogs are there in the United States?
That is such a weird question to Google.
Right?
Are you shouldn't Google how many dogs and how many, like, there's no what? All right, while you do that, your internet here doesn't work for me. So it there broke. Was, when, so for this, there's a couple questions that were left unanswered and I could not find them for the life of me. Maybe I just didn't dig deep enough. Anyways, one, if you have pet insurance, will it cover it? If not, how much are these sessions?
Yeah.
So there was one facility I found for animal therapy, although everything was request a consult, like talk to
the doctor. Yeah, I don't think they're going to come out how much that is.
So it still left some questions that we don't know.
So I feel like just knowing my therapy in general, I'm not therapy, my pet insurance, I don't know if it's the same anymore. We got ours when it was fairly becoming just new and popular, I guess you could say. So ours covers a lot. And pretty much what it comes down to is anything that the vet recommends, they cover once we hit our copay. And our copay is only like $250. So we hit that in usually annual shots. Mr. Allergy shot every year.
So I wonder if it's going to become even more popular if more insurances do accept therapy as an option, then maybe it'll grow and grow. I did see like the forecast, according to one site, of a canine rehabilitation therapist, and it said like 10 years from now whether it was fair, good, or excellent, and it just landed in the good mark. So yeah, it seems like there's potential for this field to grow.
I definitely think so. So I did pull up those numbers out of curiosity, and
random question.
It is. Where did it go? Okay, so approximately 48 million American households own a dog. And over 1.2 million bunnies are in their homes, too.
That's so weird.
Now, like, I looked up horses. Why is that
even related? Okay, go ahead.
Don't ask me why it's related. It just came up, so I thought it was interesting. 1.6 million households have horses. So that's why we're seeing it grow so much.
Okay, how about like in the 1960s?
I'm not looking that up.
What? Why not?
Hold on.
Oh, you're trying to show growth here. You're trying to show that more Americans are owning dogs nowadays than they did in the 1960s. And that's why canines are becoming more popular for therapy.
I don't think they had dogs.
No one had dogs in the 1960s.
Like, counted. I'm looking it up and I'm not finding anything.
So we're just going to go quickly under the assumption that more Americans own dogs nowadays than they did in the 1960s.
So apparently in the 60s and 70s, few people in the cities could afford dogs and they just usually roamed free.
And now,
according to one site. And now
we all have, of us are going broke because we want dogs.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's definitely become, like, again, it's just a change. We see that in general, but like that's 48 million versus 1.6.
For horses.
So like, of course, canine to me is going to take the lead in this field.
But racehorses are still popular.
Yeah.
Rodeos are happening. The course is still maybe tended to. Oh, I think you can
get into some of the
big... feel like it should still be like contend. I don't know if they should just specialize in canines, but that's just me.
I'm with you on that. And then cats aren't far behind dogs. They're at 25.4.
These are such weird numbers. I don't know why.
I mean, anyways, they're very popular. These were off of American Veterinarian Medical.
Anyways, the title of the job is Canine Rehabilitation Therapist Certificate. Certificate? Yeah, I almost went the other way. You can get it at CRI, the Canine Rehabilitation Institute in Florida. You can also go to the University of Tennessee, where they have a program there as well. I think we are just about all done, unless you had anything else.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, it honestly comes down to that certificate, comes down to the place you're working. From what I can tell, it could be based off of the state, but I don't see anything that requires you to have a certificate. But it's probably going to up your chances of getting it if you do have it. So.
All right, well, with that said, thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, join the Facebook group, and watch our YouTube videos. We got a little bit of everything going on. And don't forget to share.
And don't forget, Shark Week's ending.
Yeah, so make sure you watch Shark
Week. Make sure you watch it. Again, not sponsored, but...
She wish we were.
That would be awesome, dude. If we could get sponsored by Shark Week.
Which has nothing to do with physical therapy, but...
I'm sure I can figure out something.
All right, you do that.
All right, guys. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
The information in this video or podcast is not intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content, including text, graphics, images, and information contained in this video or podcast, is for general information purposes only and does not replace your professor's or a consultation from your own doctor or healthcare professional.